Welcome to AM Best Audio.
As the insurance industry faces increasingly complex risks, especially in catastrophe-prone regions, effective risk modeling is essential to accurately assess potential exposures and determine the appropriate level of reinsurance. Almost no one knows better about the critical relationship between risk modeling and reinsurance capacity than Karen Clark, founder of Karen Clark & Company. She joins us now. Karen, as always, a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thank you, John. It's a pleasure to speak with you as well.
So, Karen, what have we seen so far this year in the way of natural catastrophe insurance losses?
Well, we're only a little over halfway through the year, so I'm sure we'll be seeing more losses as the year goes on. But so far to date, according to KCC estimates, we're over $50 billion in insured losses in the U.S., so that's U.S. only. And of course, the lion's share of that is from severe convective storm, which is well over $40 billion. At this point. We had another active spring in 2024, as we did in 2023. So it's no surprise on those SCS losses. With respect to wildfires, it's been an interesting year so far. We haven't had a major event loss, but we've had 15 small losses and small event losses, not just in California, but in Texas, in Idaho, Arizona, New Mexico. And collectively, they add up to about $2 billion in losses so far, but the season's not over. So we could have a major wildfire loss yet this year. Winter storms have been above average and are at about $5 billion so far this year. But of course, the question remains, John, as to what's going to happen with hurricanes, because we're now into the hurricane season. We're not at the peak yet. We've already had two small events. KCC's estimate that it's just a little over, I believe, $4 billion from Debbie and Beryl. But as I like to say, we know it's projected to be an active season, but hurricanes are like real estate. The three most important things are location, location, location. So what's really going to determine hurricane losses throughout the end of this year is where those storms make landfall. If we have a major storm hit a major metropolitan area, we'll have losses that dwarf even if we have 5 or 10 more Debbies. So we'll have to see how the hurricane season turns out to see what the total is for 2024.
Karen, how much is climate risk contributing to increasing property losses versus other factors?
Well, first of all, John, the answer to that varies by peril, and we can go into the details of that. But I will say, in general, by far, the biggest driver of increasing losses has been exposure growth and not climate change to date. And it's a little annoying to me that you sometimes see these graphs of losses over the, you know, going back 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And it looks like there's a trend, even when the graph said it's trended for the CPI. Okay, well, or it's trended to today's losses. But normally what that means is they've only adjusted for the consumer price index. But that is a small part of the story, because what's been happening, of course, over the decades, past decades, is that people have been moving to hazardous areas, and particularly the coastlines, in droves. So we have a lot more properties there. And what we're building today along those coastlines, it's not what we built 20 or 30 years ago. Nobody is building a 1,500 square foot rectangular home anymore. So that's the wealth impact. So when we take into account demographics, the wealth impact, as well as construction cost inflation, and we run all of the historical events against today's exposures, we see very little or no trend at all. There's one minor exception to that we can get to. But for example, let's take hurricanes. So KCC scientists have been spending many years studying the impacts of climate change on all the perils, and particularly hurricanes. And what the scientific consensus is that severity is increasing, but not frequency. So when we account for that severity change since 1900, we're getting about an 11% increase in property losses. Compare that to the fact that in the past decade, it now costs twice as much to build the same single family home as it did 10 years ago. So the exposure growth impact, even over 10 years, has been about 100% for hurricane losses. Now, so again, the exposure growth just really dwarfs climate change. Now, the exception that I mentioned is wildfire. Okay, climate change is having the biggest impact on wildfire losses. And we, KCC scientists, do estimate that we've had about a doubling in losses since 1985 just from climate change impacts. So that's the peril where we're seeing the most impact to date. We still see more impact from exposure growth, but proportionately, climate change is having the biggest impact on wildfire. Interestingly, on severe convective storm and winter storm, there's no scientific consensus on any trend, and we don't see that in the data to date.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
It's fascinating. Now, that being the case, Karen, what's causing the current disruption in the property markets?
Well, there are a few things that are going on, John. One, I think most importantly, is that there has been a systemic underestimation of the loss potential from perils long considered secondary, that is severe convective storm, winter storm, and wildfires. It's interesting, if you think back to the Hurricane Andrew days, the disruption that was caused after Hurricane Andrew was because of the underestimation of hurricane risk that was so pervasive in the industry before Andrew. The current disruption is due to the underestimation of these what we call frequency perils that has been so pervasive. And now the traditional models that most reinsurers still use have done a great job, tremendous, on helping the industry understand and price hurricane risk. But they've fallen well short of providing credible information for what, again, has been known in the industry as secondary perils. So now, and it's interesting that even though there are no climate trends, severe convective storm activity does have interannual volatility. So it may seem like losses are increasing, but it's just because the models have been underestimating. Now you combine that with, again, the confusion on climate change. You know, how much is climate change having an impact, and a lot of misinformation that is making it sound like, you know, climate change is a bigger driver than it is. So what that means on the part of reinsurers is that there's low confidence in the models they've been using, and there's high uncertainty. So when there's low confidence and high uncertainty, what do reinsurers do? They, to account for it, they increase prices, and they restrict capacity. And that's exactly what we're seeing today.
So what have you noticed when it comes to reinsurance capacity in catastrophe-prone markets?
Well, the biggest change, I think, is the unwillingness to write low layers of cover. Again, those are the layers that will include losses from severe convective storm, winter storm, and wildfire. And again, because reinsurers don't have a high degree of confidence in the tools they've been using, they really don't feel confident in their ability to price it. They don't want that risk. So they're asking insurers to raise their retentions and so that they have less of that risk. But that creates a big gap between demand and supply, because that's where primary insurers would like more cover. As I mentioned before, even though there's not a discernible trend in SCS losses, there's a lot of interannual volatility, and insurers would like to smooth that volatility with reinsurance. So there's a demand for that, but there's a lack of supply. And what that means is there are actually opportunities in the market for reinsurers and ILS investors who do have better tools and who are embracing the newer KCC models, which are proven to be accurate for these particular perils.
Okay, Karen, the big question, can risk modelers help to bring more reinsurance capacity back into the markets then?
Well, absolutely. And that's what KCC has been doing over the past, you know, several years. So over the past over 10 years, we've invested tens of millions of dollars and years of research in building accurate models for the frequency perils, severe convective storm, winter storm, and wildfire. And so the industry knows they need a new approach. So at KCC, we've developed a more advanced model. That advanced model, so the good news is they have the same fundamental structure as the traditional models, the same components, the same inputs and outputs. But what's innovative and advanced is the hazard component, which has a whole new methodology based on numerical weather prediction and physical modeling techniques. But John, that's not enough. Okay, what we had to do at KCC is more than build more advanced models. We had to go through a methodological change where we're actually ground truthing those models with every event. Okay, and this is something the industry has never held the modelers accountable for, and that is accuracy. There's been a lot of model validation, but that's not enough. You know, reinsurers have not verified the models and ground truth them with real events. At KCC, we ground truth all of our models with every event. And for severe convective storm, that's been over 200 events since 2018. So we have a wealth of information has proven, you know, that our models are more accurate. So it really behooves the modeling companies to step up to the plate and say, okay, why are our models not accurate? What do we need to do to make them more accurate? And that is exactly what we've done at KCC. And again, reinsurers with these more advanced models are able to provide more capacity because the confidence in the models will be increased enough. So it really is the responsibility of the risk modelers to make sure they're delivering to the market models that are proven to be accurate, not just asserted to be accurate, that are proven to be accurate, and so that insurers and reinsurers can have confidence in those models.
Interesting. Karen, as always, a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thank you, John. Nice speaking with you as well.
I was Karen Clark, founder of Karen Clark & Company, and I'm John Weber for AM Best TV.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.